All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. It's a Week 17 edition of the show. It is an NFC South Championship on the line edition of the show. For everything else we've been through this year, for everything else we've been talking about this whole time, if I had told you back in training camp in July and August, and we were sitting there getting all excited about the season, hey, that Week 17 game, Carolina at home, that's a win and you're in. Bucks win the NFC South. At that point, I guess maybe we would have been a little disappointed because we still had our heads in the clouds, right? I thought we'd clinch by Week 13 in this weak division, you know? But still, no, I mean, win and you're in against a supposedly weaker opponent, although they've already beaten us once. Now we know. And you don't have to worry about anything else. You don't need any help. You don't have to worry about some schlub team. How many times have we sat in front of the TV or checking our phones or before there were cell phones, checking the score ticker or whatever, hoping to get some help? It almost never comes. You don't have to worry about that. Beat the Carolina Panthers, who are 6-9, and you are the NFC South champions. Again, despite anything else, we'll get into all the other stuff. So here we are. And it's an exciting weekend. I've talked all year long about how disappointing it's all been and how we shouldn't even be slumming it like this. But now that it's here, I had a real negative attitude, I'll be honest. Now that it's here, I'm buoyed. I'm excited. I'm excited for Sunday. And it's not because of the game this past Sunday night on Christmas night. Because if you had asked me 15 minutes after that game had ended how I felt, or during that game, I would have said, whatever. Who cares? Whatever. What are we really hanging on to? That's been my go-to phrase. What are we really hanging on to after another performance that was just absolutely pitiful offensively, but also won for like the sixth time this year that resulted in a Buccaneer win despite not cracking 20 points? I don't know how the hell they do it. And another performance where in the fourth quarter, when things got a little bit tight and a little bit dire, they turned it on and did what they had to do somehow, which is both encouraging and also a little bit kind of, you know, makes you kind of go, well, what, you know, can we not run an offense that's a little bit more aggressive the other three quarters too? Like, and you know, it's funny. Like, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. Like, we've been watching this offense all year long. Sometimes they go out on the first drive and they get like a field goal. You know, they stall in the red zone, but they look good. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe the offense will be better today. And then they just shut it down for three quarters. And then they go out there, depending on what the situation is. And then once they're down or once they need to make something happen, they make it happen. They did it this past Sunday against Arizona. They did it against the Saints, the second Saints game, although they actually did it in both Saints games back in week two or whatever, the other one. They did it against the Rams. And, you know, it's funny because you watch the offense, and we're all upset about being 6-8. I honestly can't believe, like, I don't know, or 7-8 now, excuse me. I don't know how we've won seven games. I don't feel any confidence in their, I literally don't feel any confidence in their ability to score a single touchdown. Like, when they get the ball, if it's not like a turnover or some weird play where they get the ball in the opponent's, you know, inside the opponent's 40-yard line, if it's just a regular ho-hum, either a touchback or a team punts and we get the ball anywhere inside our own 30 or even 40, in no way has it crossed my mind, hey, we're going to go 70 yards here, 85 yard, 80 yards, whatever it is, and score a touchdown. Just doesn't cross my mind that that's possible. It seems impossible. And of course, you can't win football games that way. So I'm honestly surprised. I really and truly am surprised that we are 7-8. It feels like we should be something like 5-10 or 4-11. And they probably should be, honestly. But they have found a way. And you know the thing I've realized? I mean, it's the same these fourth quarters. And I know everybody always says, and you know, teams get in prevent defenses and the offense starts moving. Or they run hurry up and tempo like they've been doing and had success with. And everybody goes, whoa, why don't they just do that the whole time? I know it's not that simple, okay? We all know that. We're not dumb. They want to score more than they're scoring. I know they're not trying to, like, not score. But it really is funny that, like, when... I'm the same way in my life. I don't do anything without deadlines. I don't do anything without pressure. I was the kid in school growing up where if we had a paper due on you know, Monday, and it was Tuesday of the prior week. You think I'm going to do a page a day until Monday? Hell no. I'm going to write the entire thing Sunday night. That's how I operate. That's how the Bucks offense operates too. I've always been that. My wife is not like that. My wife's a planner. She will do what needs to be done, you know, and she'll portion it out, and she'll never get behind, and she'll always be prepared. Bless her heart. You know, and that's one reason we work well together, because somebody's got to be that way. But my point is, you know, that's really what the Bucks offense comes down to now. Like, it's not that they're not trying to score. I know they want to score, but they really don't feel like they want to risk too much in trying to score. They don't want Tom Brady to get hurt. They don't want to turn it over. They really do think they can win 16-13, 19-16, like Sunday night, 13-10. And of course, you can't do that. I know they've done it a few times, so maybe it makes them think they can, but 7-8 is still 7-8. It ain't like they've done it, you know, at least the Dungy Bucks, when they tried to do it, that was back when you could maybe do that a little more and they would actually win, you know, 10, 11 games a year doing it. You can't do that now. Even though you eked one out against the Cardinals, who, by the way, have the number 32 scoring defense in the NFL out of 32 teams, and who were starting a third or fourth string, whatever you want to call them, quarterback in Trace McSorley, and, you know, he was not good, and they couldn't whiz a drop, and that game should have been an absolute afterthought by halftime, or at least the third quarter, and we're in there in a dogfight, but at the end of the day, they get it done, so you forget about all that. So anyway, if you had asked me these things like 15 minutes after the game, this is how I would have felt. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like World Cup soccer, because I'm one of those guys. I'm not a soccer fan, but I still enjoy watching the World Cup. I was watching the World Cup, you know, a few weeks ago. And just like most American soccer fans who are not really fans, who just turn it on for the World Cup, I'm like, my God, why is it so, it's so hard to score. Like, it's way too hard to score in this game. This is during group play. Nothing, nothing, one, nothing. Offsides is such a dumb rule. They can barely score to begin with. Then we take away goals off the board because of this, you know, completely unnecessary rule. Like, what's with soccer, man? I wish they'd just change a few things. It'd be so much more exciting. Then you get to situations in, like, the final round of group play plus the knockout bracket where teams really have to score. And all of a sudden, like, there's these wild comebacks, like, even in the final, like, it was 2-0 Argentina, and you're like, I mean, nobody comes back from 2-0 in a soccer game, even if it's, like, in the first half, let alone, like, 10 minutes left, and France just scores 2 goals, and you're like, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to be possible. But it's not that it's impossible, it's that in soccer, they have a really, really conservative and a really, really close-to-the-vest mentality. When I say they, I mean just the soccer world in general. That's the way the game is played. Like, teams don't try that hard to score, they really don't. And then they get down by a goal or two in a knockout situation. All of a sudden, now they don't have a choice. And you see that the game can be very exciting. Those were some really exciting games in the knockout stage, and especially the final. There were multiple instances of teams scoring goals in the final minutes. And you're like, wait a minute. They can't score a goal to save their life. And now all of a sudden, they need to get a goal. There's 5 minutes left, and they pull it off. Like, how the hell has this happened? It's because there's an attitude change. And that's why I learned about soccer, and the reason I'm making this analogy is because that's what the Bucks offense reminds me of. Like, they could do more through the first three quarters. And for reasons both real and perceived, whether it be with pass protection, whether it be with, you know, Tom Brady being 45 years old, whether it be with turnovers, or whether it be just an unfailing trust in their defense, who has done the job for the most part, whatever it is, they don't think they need to expose themselves to the what they perceive as risks that come with trying to score points. When in reality, like, the NFL's all about scoring. Like, I tell you this on the show all the time. Like, the NFL, okay, especially the NFL, but really football in general nowadays, you must aggressively and efficiently accumulate points throughout the game. That is how you win, okay? You don't get to 14 points and say, okay, it's 14-10 or 14-7. We're cool. Now we just got to shut them down. No, you need to keep adding points. Like, keep adding points. The Bucks don't do that. They wait till they're behind when they don't have a choice, and maybe they'll get the points. And even besides the ones they won, same thing with the Green Bay game. They got, you know, they couldn't get the 2-point conversion a couple times. That's happened. But now, okay, now we need the points. Now we'll try and go get them. And it's not as, you know, simple as, oh, let's run the hurry-up all game. But they could run the hurry-up more than they do. Hurry-up's not even a good word for it. Tempo is a better word for it. That's not like 48 minutes of or 40 minutes of hell like Nolan Richardson ran with Arkansas in college basketball, where you run a press defense for 40 minutes. It ain't that bad, okay? Like, you can do it. And it takes a lot of pressure off your offensive line when you do that, because if you don't think they can protect, you know, running tempo, you can do some of the quicker stuff that they do and actually have success with it. And see, that's what it really comes down to with the offense. It's not the lack of a running game. In fact, Sunday night, the running game did pretty well. You couldn't pin it on a lack of a running game. It's not even specific individual play calls. I know we like to complain, me too, about a play call here or there. It's an overall offensive philosophy they're running right now, where if you watch the over and over, you see this recurring theme. Tom Brady treats the football literally like it is a ticking time bomb the moment it touches his fingertips. And it's almost like the movie Speed, where the bus can't go under 50 miles an hour, it's going to explode. That's how Tom Brady treats the football. Like, he takes the snap. If you don't throw this ball in 1 second, bomb goes off. Everybody in the stadium dies. Like, that's literally how we run our offense. And you cannot run an offense that way. Like, down, set, hut, throw the ball. Like, that's literally the amount of, I mean, like, quick screens, you know, to either Godwin or to the running backs, or slants, or just no time for routes to develop. There's no stem on any route. Like, we don't have routes with stems. It's either a quick something or other, or just a 50-50, you know, deep shot down the sideline. But not the intermediate stuff's where you make your bones. I've been saying this over and over. The in-and-out breaking routes, 10, 15, 20 yards down the field, that's where you chow on offense, okay? That's how you keep moving the sticks. That's how you stay out of third downs. You don't have to convert third downs well. You have to get first downs on first and second down. I say this every week. But it's simply impossible to run those routes in the amount of time they're willing to allow before the ball's thrown. And again, like I said, real or perceived, the pass protection certainly is not up to the level it was in 2020 or 2021. I don't think it's that bad. But again, I'm not Tom Brady, 45 years old, standing there with J.J. Watt breathing steam out of, you know, getting ready to come run me down, or a Bosa brother or something. You know, that's easy for me to say sitting in front of the microphone here in front of my laptop. I get it, okay? And he doesn't, and they don't want to expose him to the kind of hits that may come with taking a little more time in the pocket. So, to me, that's what it is. Like, I mean, we bitch about Leftwich, and like I said, there's individual play calls you might not like and things like that. But the overall deal isn't about play calling. The overall deal is about philosophy, and you cannot run a successful offense throwing the ball that quickly. You have to allow like 2-3 seconds. You have to. And as long as they're not either willing to or able to do that, the offense is going to look like this, and that's why I've been so down. I mean, they may very well win on Sunday, and if they do, they got a date with the Cowboys, and they may very well win that. I mean, that, you know, I wouldn't think they would. I wouldn't pick them to, but they did actually literally beat the Cowboys already this year, so it's not like, you know, David and Goliath or something. But the point is, I just, you know, you can't envision success from this team because you can't be successful doing it that way. You cannot be successful doing it that way. You have to have a few, and they do. You see in the fourth quarter when they get in the hurry up, or even when they're just down, you know, they start to open up the playbook a little bit. They start to throw more of that intermediate stuff. The play to Gage was like that. They had a huge completion to Evans in overtime that helped set the field goal up that was like that. Those plays are non-existent. Like, they don't run those plays in the first three and a half quarters of games. And they're the lifeblood of an offense. They're not just important here and there. They should be the backbone of your offense. And every day, game on Twitter, hey, people are, why hasn't Mike Evans gotten any? They haven't even looked Mike Evans' way. Because that's where Mike Evans, that's the type of stuff you hit him with. And so if you're not going to let them throw the ball after more than 0.0004 seconds, then yeah, of course Mike Evans isn't going to get a look. He needs to run down the field and then break his route off 10, 15, 20 yards somewhere. And that's where the magic happens, man. And they're not doing that. So, like I said, I don't know if that's going to change. And people talk about Brady coming back next year. Not that I think he would come back here. I think if Tom Brady played on a team with better protection, he could, you know, it's not Brady. People keep saying, oh, Brady's lost some zip, Brady's older. I don't think so. I mean, he can make the throws, but he's not allowing himself, or they're not allowing him the time to make them. I don't think he has any trouble delivering the ball 20, 30 yards down the field. In fact, we know he doesn't have. We've seen him do it. I mean, recently, like, He can still do that. I do not think this is an age thing. I do not think this is, oh, Tom Brady's on his last legs. I think if Tom Brady was on a better, or a team with better protection, again, real or perceived, if there was a team with rock-solid protection, which we were the last 2 years, and you saw the results, a Super Bowl and a divisional playoff appearance, you put him on something like that, he's fine. I think he can play another year if he wants to. Now, will it be here? If I was him, the way we're doing things, why? Why do it that way? I don't see, but I'm not talking about next year right now. I'm just saying, my point is, there's the capabilities there, okay? Now, they get Donovan Smith back there, just to give you an injury report. Donovan Smith back at practice for whatever you think that's worth. Tristan Wirfs says he's good to go. All right, Josh Wells is out, so they don't have a lot of depth at tackle, but as long as Wirfs and Smith are okay, then they're okay. Ryan Jensen, you probably know by now, he came back to practice starting his 21-day window where he can be activated. The Bucs say it's nothing to do with that. This is all part of the normal rehab process. Don't expect to see him this weekend, and they're not even saying don't expect to see him soon. Who knows? But the point is, you know, the front five they got with right to left, Wirfs, Shaq Mason, Hainsey, Leverett, and Donovan Smith, assuming Donovan Smith can just not get worked over in the first second of pass pro, that should be enough. That offensive line right there, again, I know the depth isn't there, but that offensive line right there can let you run the intermediate stuff. And they need, I mean, they need to. If they're really serious about anything besides just getting to say, hey, we won the NFC South, because you can win this game and you can even lose next week and go 8-9, and that's a garbage season with the amount of talent we have on the roster. But we can say, oh, we won the NFC South. Maybe that's all they want to be able to do. You know, and I guess at this point we should just be grateful if they can do that. But if you really want to actually win football games, especially in January, you can't do it this way. They have to know that. Like, you can't do it this way. We'll see if they can do it on Sunday against Carolina. And then there was even post-game video of the locker room, you know, victory speech by Todd Bowles, and somebody on Twitter had speculated, because you could see Julio Jones and Mike Evans in the background, and Bowles is giving his post-game, he's talking, and everybody's going, yeah, you know, but, and Evans and Julio Jones both have looks on their faces like a car just ran over their cat or something. Like, they look like they're completely dead inside. And someone on Twitter was like, look at this man, this is really telling. And people were going back and forth on Twitter about it. If you follow me, at Bobby Game Day, BobbyGameDay, you can see it up there. I don't read too much into that stuff. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But at the same time, and I said this on Twitter, like, imagine being a big-time playmaking wideout on this team who makes downfield plays like Julio Jones and Mike Evans are used to doing. And imagine, you know, you do that. Your whole career, you've made your bones doing that, running routes 10, 15, 20 yards down the field. And now imagine, I mean, go watch the film of these games and just isolate on a guy like Mike Evans and look at what his night entails. His night entails running up the field, turning around, and realizing that when he was only halfway through his route, the ball had already been thrown like for like 2 yards to Leonard Fournette on 2nd and 8, and now it's 3rd and 6, because that's what our offense is. Like, you'd be dead inside too. That's soul crushing. I've played receiver before at the low levels, never at a high level, and I was never any good. But you run, you turn around, like you're looking, oh, here comes the ball, and you see the play's already over, and you just jog back to the huddle. It's boring as hell, and it sucks, okay? And to do it for an entire, which I never played entire games, barely, because I wasn't a starter most of the time in my career, but to do that for an entire game, not only that, an entire season? And yes, Mike Evans is getting his targets overall, but like, they're not quality targets, a lot of them, most of them. So you run down the field over and over and over, you stick your foot in the ground, you break off your route, you turn around, where's the ball? Oh, we threw a half-second quick screen to Chris Godwin, and he got 3 yards on 2nd and 8, now it's 3rd and 5. Cool. Like, that's what it's like. So I could see how those guys would have that look on their face. Like, they're like, whatever, just whatever, let's go play again next week, maybe we'll win. It's the same attitude I have as a non-player. And then people on Twitter were saying, well, you know, it's hard to get excited with Bowles' demeanor. You know, he's got the demeanor of a wilted potted plant. You know what? I'll say this about Bowles. All this talk about coaches' demeanor, this isn't the first time. We had this with Dungy, too, and you hear it around the league. Every coach has a different personality. It's 100% bull bleep. It means nothing. Your demeanor is only as acceptable as your team's performance is. It's the same thing that happened with Dungy in the late 90s, early 2000s, before the Super Bowl. I was, oh, he doesn't have any fire. He just stands there when things go wrong. What a guy! I want to see a guy get into it. That's what this team needs, man. They need a coach with some fire. That'll light a fire under these guys. That's what the problem is. No, has nothing to do with that, okay? My criticisms of Todd Bowles, and there have been many, have all centered around our offense sucking ass and decisions whether to kick or go for it on third or fourth down. I have no issues with his demeanor. It means nothing. In fact, I like Todd Bowles. I know you might not think that from listening to me complain about him, but when Todd Bowles speaks, I actually like him. Like, I like his, it's fine. It has nothing to do with demeanor. No problem with the demeanor. I have a problem with an offense that just does the same thing over and over because they don't feel like they can't. It's really about low confidence. They just don't feel like they can be any better than they are. They feel like this is the best we can do. Let's try and win this way, and maybe we can eke out a division title with an 8-9 or a 9-8 record. And they might do it. But I don't want to hear any more about, like, you know, Dungy's demeanor wasn't good enough, because that wasn't his demeanor. Our offense sucked. That's what his demeanor was. That's why people didn't like it. The defense seemed like they had plenty of fire in the late 90s, early 2000s, and the defense is doing well enough now. So the whole Bowles demeanor thing, enough with it. I'm serious. I like when he talks. Like, when he talks and I listen, I'm like, yeah, I have no problem with the things he says, the way he says them. He sounds like Morgan Freeman. Like, his voice, if you close your eyes, you think it's Morgan Freeman talking, but it's actually Todd Bowles. I got no problem with anything with the demeanor. We'll see how everybody's demeanor is on Sunday, by the way, because that'll tell you whose demeanor is okay with what is what happens on Sunday. Because if they win the game, let's go over the scenario. I mean, the obvious scenario is they win the game, they win the NFC South. If they lose, though, Carolina does not clinch the NFC South. Rather, Carolina could then clinch with a win next week. Basically, if the Bucs win on Sunday, they win the NFC South. If they lose, they would need to beat Atlanta next week and have New Orleans beat the Panthers, and then the Bucs would still win the NFC South. But there's even another scenario where the Panthers beat the Bucs on Sunday, then the Saints beat the Panthers in Week 18, and the Bucs lose to the Falcons, and the Saints can still win the NFC South. And then there are other scenarios, which I will not entertain right now. We'll get to them next week if they apply. Hopefully they don't. But there's even other scenarios where there's two NFC wildcard or NFC South wildcards, or two NFC South playoff teams, the division winner, and even a wild card at 8-9. That could actually happen. Very, very small chance. And it's not anything worth talking about right now. Win and you're in. That's it. It's as simple as that. Sunday, 1 o'clock, the 6-9 Panthers, the 7-8 Bucks. Bucks are a 3-point favorite right now. If you're going to the game, weather should be pretty nice. Low 70s throughout, about 73, 74 degrees. Maybe a little cloudy, they're saying. Light breeze, but nothing as far as precipitation or anything like that. So it'll be a nice New Year's Day. Way to ring in 2023. And if you're looking to go, maybe you're not officially going yet, but you may want to, get in price right now that I'm seeing is $120. That's after fees. That's out the door. And it may go down a little bit from there. Still in the triple digits, not cheap. Cheaper than the playoff game will probably be if they make it and they play the Cowboys of all teams. But that's what we're looking at. Oh, we also have Bruce Arians getting inducted into the Ring of Honor. I would love, and you know, you can't do this. Nobody's got the chance to do this right now. Maybe years from now. I would love to know what Bruce Arians thinks of the Bucs offense. I would love to know, and he's not, you know, one of these meddlers. He's not saying anything. I'd love a chance to sit down and have Bruce Arians take some truth serum and ask him, hey, like, do they really need to throw the ball like in like a tenth of a second every time? Like, couldn't you do better than this if you were running this stuff? Like, do you think they could somehow work around having an offensive line that's maybe not quite as good as before, but not terrible either? Couldn't they do better than this? Huh, Bruce? I think it'd be telling. But it's not his team now, and he's not acting like it's his team, to his credit. But either way, absolutely deserving of the Ring of Honor. It's going to be a cool thing to see at halftime. And in fact, I wish he was still coaching the team. We all do, but we'll have to settle for that space up there in between the 300 and 200 levels at Raymond James Stadium. It'll be Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olsen on the call if you're staying at home watching on TV New Year's Day. And they're bumping all the New Year's Day bowl games whenever a New Year's Day falls on a Sunday. All the college games are on January 2nd this year, like, you know, all the typical New Year's Day bowl games. Although, again, they've bastardized the bowl schedule so much now that it's barely recognizable. Although we do have the semifinals of the playoff for college football on New Year's Eve. I know people have complained about that in the past. I don't mind it a lick. In fact, I'm not a party guy, and I'm not a guy who, like my wife and I, and we got two kids, 11 and 7, and we're not, like, going out or anything. Our neighborhood throws a little party, and that's fun. But even that, like, I'm looking for something to do. So you put two college football playoff semifinals on, and that gives me plenty of cover to just hang out at home, watch the games. The second game starts at 8. It'll go up close to midnight. Got to see the ball drop. I've always been a big New Year's Rockin' Eve guy. That much is a tradition. I won't, and now it's Ryan Seacrest. It used to be Dick Clark. But never have I don't think I've ever in my life since I was like 5 years old or whatever it was, or however young my mom let me stay up to watch it. I don't think I've ever not seen the ball drop on New Year's Eve. Like, that's something I always, even, I might not necessarily be home. I've been out, I've done stuff before, but I've always found a way to watch that ball drop on TV. Like, that to me is a must. And then, you know, in years past, might have stayed up past that. Yeah, these days, I pretty much go to bed after that. Because it's about football. And I'll tell you what, I just like Christmas. I was excited for Christmas. I like our kids, you know, we did the presents, all that. It's a big day for them. But you know what I was thinking about when I woke up Christmas morning? I was thinking about the Bucks-Cardinals game that night. Obviously, my excitement was pretty much misplaced as there wasn't that much to look forward to, but they won. But I'm the type of guy, you know, the holidays and stuff are great. It's about the football. Same thing with New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. I'm looking forward to the college football playoff semifinals, going to bed right after midnight, waking up, playing in my weekly Sunday morning Ultimate Frisbee game with my buddies, which you can play in too, by the way, if you want to. If you want to get a good workout, email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BOBBYGAMEDAY. But I'm looking forward to those college football semifinals, play Ultimate Frisbee Sunday morning, full NFL slate, January 1. It's great. And then Monday, January 2, full college football bowl slate. What else could you ask for? It's going to be a great few days, and hopefully we're talking about the Bucs as NFC South champions when we come back next week here on the show. Now, you know, we'll see what the scenarios are. If the Bucs win, there is no, like, seeding or anything. So if the Bucs win, the Atlanta game in Week 18 is literally meaningless as far as any. I don't want to say meaningless, though, because 9-8, it doesn't matter. Like, it won't make a difference when they get on the field in the playoff game. But 9-8 versus 8-9, like, to come back and win their final two and have a winning record, and they may finish 7-10 still, okay? But even 8-9 we'd take if Carolina was the eighth. But to be able to go 9-8, the Atlanta game wouldn't be meaningless. But still, you have to take into account getting ready for that playoff game, and you have to take into account the physical condition of the players. And if you have a chance that guys need rest and a chance to rest them, and you have won the division at 8-8, you have to do that against Atlanta, and that would afford them a big opportunity that they really, teams with that record, don't normally get to be able to relax a little bit in Week 18. Now, as far as injuries go, and I'm recording this on Wednesday afternoon, the injury report is actually pretty good. And I don't want to say the Bucs are really, really healthy, because in Week 17, even if you're not on the injury report, everybody's dealing with stuff. I know Tom Brady's dealing with finger stuff, shoulder stuff. Every guy's got something. But as far as official injuries, everyone was either limited participation or full go at practice today, except for two guys. Carlton Davis did not practice. And this is only Wednesday, so it's not a big deal yet. But Carlton Davis didn't practice. He's listed with a shoulder. And Anthony Nelson is listed with illness. Anthony Nelson has played like every snap. He played every snap on defense against Arizona. So that might be more of a maintenance thing. I wouldn't worry too much about that. And he was good. So those two guys are the only ones, though. Donovan Smith back at practice today. Tristan Wirfs, he's good. Jamel Dean was back. He's been out with a toe thing. Carl Nassib and his pec strain, he's back at practice. Again, some of these guys were limited, some of these guys were full go, but they were all there, which means all, you know, signs point to them being good to go. And of course, we mentioned Ryan Jensen already. So the Bucs, for some of the injury issues they have had, and obviously there were guys who were just completely out for the year, which still count as injury issues, even though we're not counting them on the active roster, like Shaq Barrett. You know, the guys that are playing right now, there's nobody in too bad of a shape. And if they are able to win on Sunday against Carolina, then they can really, you know, give themselves 2 weeks to get ready for that Dallas game. And then who knows, you know? But right now, nothing else. I don't want to hear about Dallas. I don't hear about scenarios with Atlanta or rooting for somebody else to lose or any of that crap. Carolina, win and you're in. They lost 21-3 up in Charlotte. They'll take on a team this weekend. And by the way, you know, I always talk about running backs and how they're interchangeable and you don't have to get too wrapped up in it. Since trading Christian McCaffrey, the Carolina team runs the ball. It's what they do. And so that's like going to be a big theme. Obviously, they're not going to try and throw it all over the yard with Sam Darnold, although he's been pretty decent. But Deontay Foreman, since the McCaffrey trade, okay, third in the NFL in rushing. He's got 774 yards just since that trade, 5 100-yard games, and the Panthers haven't missed a beat. And I'm not saying Christian McCaffrey is not a valuable tool. I would love to have him on the Bucs. I would love to have any, you know, skilled, talented running back. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm just saying you can't get too wrapped up in these guys. You don't need to pay them ridiculous money. You can always get somebody. And Carolina, after trading one of the biggest rushing threats in the NFL, has not missed a beat in their rushing game. Deontay Foreman's been doing just fine. So it's going to be something the Buccaneers are going to have to be geared up for on Sunday. It's going to be something they're going to have to stop. And in the meantime, it's all down to these four quarters, folks. This is what we've been, you know, for everything else, I want to stress, for everything else that's gone on, it's not okay what has happened. And even if they win on Sunday, because I know a lot of people are going to say, well, hey, they won the South. What do you want? You know, divisions, they're based on geography. Like, it's not random, but in the terms of football, it is random. Like, the reason the outlook of this team isn't just completely in the gutter, because imagine if the Bucs were in a division where one of these other teams was like, you know, 12-4 right now, and the Bucs were completely eliminated, had nothing to play for, we would be absolutely disgusted, okay? I mean, disgusted. And the outlook would be 100% different, but since they're in a bad division, although again, that's pretty much random, we're a little more positive, our outlook has changed. Whether they win or lose Sunday, things have to get better. The way they run this offense has to change. And obviously, you've got personnel things you can do in the offseason. We'll see about Tom Brady himself. Those are all things to worry about down the road. Although, Brady did say something. He does that podcast with Jim Gray. I forgot to mention this earlier. And he does it weekly. It's called the Let's Go Podcast. And Jim Gray asked Brady whether he's thinking about retiring now. You know, here we are again after the end of the season, after he retired last season and then came back. And Brady said, quote, I'm reading this verbatim, quote, well, I think next time I decide to retire, that's it for me. So whenever that day comes, we'll figure it out. So he says, you know, I think what I really realized last year was you got to be really sure to do that. And for me, you know, a lot of people have kind of gone through this situation. I'm going to take my time whenever that time does come. Now I'm paraphrasing. He went on to talk about how, you know, the way you feel those first couple of weeks after the season, you think, oh yeah, I'm done. And then you really do start to feel better as the offseason goes on. He says, he kind of hinted, I don't want to say he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he hinted that maybe he was a little too hasty this last time. You want to let it breathe during the offseason. See how you feel after you get to March, April, May, whatever it is. Don't say it in January or February. Because, yeah, right after it's over, you're exhausted. You know, you've been defeated or whatever. You're like, oh, I'm just done, dude. You know, but that's not a good time to make that decision. You got to wait. So, you know, we'll see what he does both in general and specific to the Bucs. It's hard, again, to imagine him being back here. We can't go on. I've said this. That's my big theme. We can't go on like this. Maybe they're going to eke out a division title on Sunday or next week. Maybe not. I don't know. Either way, it doesn't change anything. We can't go on like this next year. Todd Bowles isn't getting fired. Byron Leftwich, maybe we'll see. But the point is, they have to get themselves to a point on the offensive front where they have enough confidence to run a regular damn offense and stop this stuff, because it's not going to work. It may work, like I said, it may work Sunday enough to win a division. Or 8-9, 9-8, whatever, but that's not ultimately what we're after. But for now, it is ultimately what we're after. So forget all that stuff and get ready for Sunday. Whatever you're going to do, whether you're going to go to the game, whether you're going to be home, hey, everybody always gets optimistic this time of year. The Gregorian calendar is not based on anything like astronomically or anything like that. It's just kind of random. But if it helps people, you know, I know people like to make resolutions or they like to say, oh, things are going to be different. hey, fine, whatever. Let's get a positive attitude. Let's get ready for Sunday. Let's get out there and, you know, let's have some fun. Because I don't care what anybody says, and I know all the circumstances surrounding it aren't great, but the Bucks have never won back-to-back divisions ever in their history, and they have a chance to do that on Sunday, and that's going to have to be enough for now, and it is enough for me, and I'm excited for 1 p.m. on Sunday. We'll see you then. Oh, I forgot Bill Curry Ford. My good friends at Bill Curry Ford, of course, if you're looking for a car, truck, or van, brand new, used, pre-owned, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, it's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check them out. And if you want to test drive something, go to the lot a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They've got the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty with whatever you get. Thanks to them. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere on the internet, TV, radio, anywhere for Bucks coverage. Thanks to them for the opportunity. Thanks to all of you for listening. That is the final free stretch of the calendar year 2022. We'll be back in 2023. Hopefully we're talking about the NFC South champions. Whatever happens, though, on Sunday, get ready, get excited, and let's have some fun. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.